Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Alright, so yesterday we did the episode making my predictions for each of the AFC divisions. We're going to do that, but for this first segment, we got to talk about Le'Veon Bell. This is a little bit more important than what I wanted to do, given that he's got his teammates starting to turn on him now, and obviously that's the story. So we'll be talking about that for the first segment. We'll get two divisions going in the first or in the second segment. We'll go NFC East and NFC West. Or actually, you know what? We'll go NFC North and NFC South in the second segment. Third segment, we'll go NFC East, and then the fourth segment, we'll go NFC West for my predictions there. But like I said, I mean, this Le'Veon Bell stuff is way more important. So, we'll be talking about that for this first segment, and let's just get into it. So, I mean, it seemed like Le'Veon Bell, from the way people were talking, that he'd be reporting today. That's not the case, and the Steelers players are pretty mad and frustrated about it. I mean, you got Ramon Foster talking about how Le'Veon Bell makes 10 times more than what he does, 2 times more than Villanueva, the offensive lineman on their team. I didn't know we were counting other people's pockets here, but that's what we're doing, I guess. Marquise Pouncey says that now it's become bigger than business. No, it hasn't. It hasn't at all. These players need to get out of this whole brotherhood mentality. I mean, it's ridiculous. Honestly. Le'Veon Bell is being smart. Le'Veon Bell is making the right decisions here. He does not owe a thing to the Steelers. He does not owe a thing to his teammates. They are co-workers. Co-workers. If you were at your job and you weren't being compensated as much as you want to be, and you were in negotiations with your boss, you had the ability, like these guys do, not to show up. Would you show up? No, you wouldn't. If it helped your fellow coworkers, would you? No, you wouldn't. Anyone who says they would is lying. All right. I have no problem with Le'Veon Bell sitting out as long as he wants to. Do me a favor. Go check out DeMarco Murray's carries, the number of carries he had in his last year with Dallas. The year they knew that they weren't bringing him back and he'd be playing for a different team the year after. Go check out how many carries he had. And tell me Le'Veon Bell doesn't have a case as to why he should sit out. You don't think the Steelers are going to run the ball as much as they can with Le'Veon Bell? They know he's the best running back in the league. Obviously, you give him the ball more and more, it's going to help your offense. The only reason why you wouldn't give him the ball as many times as the Cowboys did, which was 392 times, mind you, is because, hey, maybe we have this guy long-term, so we don't want to wear him out. Steelers don't got Le'Veon Bell long-term. After this year, he's gone. And, I mean, you honestly don't think that the Steelers wouldn't give the ball to Le'Veon Bell in near 400 times? Come on now. Le'Veon Bell is being smart. Like I said, he doesn't owe the Steelers or his fellow teammates a thing. He doesn't even owe them the explanation of when he's going to be back. Why is it that year after year we hear these teams, and the Steelers are one of them, we move forward with the players that we have currently here? Why is it now a problem? Why is it now, oh, we need Le'Veon. Where's Le'Veon? You know what this tells me? The Steelers know they're not good enough to win without Le'Veon Bell. That's what this is. I mean, it's ridiculous, honestly. how are you going to count another man's pockets when you players in the NFL know it's a business? I get the fans and all that because they don't know how this thing really works. So, I have no problem with Le'Veon Bell holding out. I mean, if I'm him, I'd just sit out the entire season. And, I mean, the way you look at it, yeah, this is going to hurt the Steelers. I mean, they're nowhere near the team that they can be when they have Le'Veon Bell out there and when he's not out there. So, I mean, obviously, like, going forward, I don't know how Le'Veon Bell comes back to the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers got to trade Le'Veon, I feel. His team has turned on him. At least the offensive linemen have turned on him. Offensive linemen turn on one of your players. I mean, you think they're really going to want to block as hard as they can for Le'Veon Bell? I mean, it seems one where they're pretty fed up with everything. And like I said, Le'Veon Bell's not in the wrong here as much as you want him to be. People are... Fans tend to hold on to those years in the 80s, 90s, and 70s and all that because the players were loyal. I think that's one of the reasons why everyone talks about those eras being the best. And let me say something. Those players who stuck with their teams because of loyalty and decided not to go to a different team for the money are fools. All of them. All of them are fools. This is a business. It's about getting yours before the NFL spits you out. And let's not act like the NFL cares about its players, because it doesn't. Let's not act like the NFL isn't currently being sued because of the fact that they tried to hide the concussion problem from its players. All right? I mean, literally. You got players dropping left, former players dropping left and right because of CTE, because the NFL refused to inform them about the dangers of playing the game and the risk of concussions and all that. Why do you think all of a sudden now the NFL's got the blue tents and all that? Why do you think now they're so proactive? It's not because, oh, wow, yeah, we finally realized it. No, it's because they're trying to save as much money as they can from that lawsuit, trying to show the players that are suing currently, look at, we're trying to make changes now. The NFL doesn't care about its players. The NFL cares about its pockets the same way the NCAA does. And for some reason, fans back the NFL. Fans back the owners. You hear, oh, players need to honor their contracts. I don't hear you guys saying anything when the owner or GM cuts its player because he's gotten a little bit too old, but he's still got a couple years left and some money left on his deal, right? No, you don't. Everyone is very hypocritical when it comes to the NFL and its players. And I'll always side with the players no matter what. And I'm just some guy with a podcast. Really doesn't mean hold much weight. But either way, I know where... Who actually makes the money in the NFL here? Fans say, oh, yeah, we play the salaries. Yeah, you wouldn't be watching games if the talent was bad. That's why you're not going to watch the XFL. That's why you won't watch the AAF, because the talent is bad. The only reason why you give your money to the NFL is because of the players out there on the field. It's because of the Le'Veon Bells, because of the Ezekiel Elliott, because of the Leonard Fournettes, because of the Antonio Browns. If those players were no good, you wouldn't give money. They're the ones who are getting you to go there. They're the ones who are really behind this all. So, Ramon Foster, Marquise Pouncey, get over yourselves. Again, where's this whole, we move forward with the guys that we have mentality? Why is it now all of a sudden, oh, Le'Veon Bell's not here. We're mad about it. Just do your job. Don't worry about whether or not a coworker is showing up to work or not. What does that have to do with you? Nothing. People say, oh, it has to do with the team. It's not going to help them. Forget the team. Again, people don't realize this is all business. All the time. Business, business, business. That's what it's about. Forget loyalty in the NFL. Forget loyalty in professional sports. You go where it benefits you and your family. And then you'll have Steelers fans saying, well, they did offer him a deal that would have made him the highest paid running back in the league. Yeah. 5 years, $70 million, how much of it was actually guaranteed? People say, oh, about 30 of it for the first 2 years, 40 after the first three. Let's not forget that if the Steelers wanted to, they could cut him before the season started and not have to pay him any of that other guaranteed money. That's what the deal was. He had a Colin Kaepernick type deal. where the 49ers weren't happy with how Colin Kaepernick was performing. They can cut him after the season and not have to pay him the rest of his deal. But people don't look at that stuff. People don't look too much into anything. They just see what's on the surface and take that with what they will, which is ridiculous. No one does enough research anymore. So I got Le'Veon Bell on my fantasy team. This league is for money. I'm perfectly fine with Le'Veon Bell not playing a snap this season. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Because I know what's actually more important here. So for the Steelers fans who are mad at Le'Veon Bell, were you ever mad at when the Steelers cut a player a couple years before his deal was done? Or did you say, oh yeah, well, he's not that good anymore. I get it. But now you want to be mad because now a player wants to take advantage for himself? And you always got people saying, in general, oh, well, like with Khalil Mack, Raider fans, perfect example here. Raider fans kept talking about how Khalil Mack was offered $20 million a year by the Raiders. I never saw that, so I'm not sure where they really came up with that number. Either way, let's say that the Raiders did. Khalil Mack wanted about $23 a year. Khalil Mack put in that work to make those decisions. We did it. Yes, I had dreams at one point of becoming a professional athlete. Why didn't I? Because I wasn't out there every day like those guys were. And it's always easy for people to say that you, you would pass up a couple million dollars to stay with a certain team. You could say that because you'll never get that opportunity. Like I said, these players worked hard enough to where they get that opportunity to make those decisions. If we were out there every day like they were, instead of sitting on our couches or doing whatever else it was, yes, we would have be able to make those decisions too, but we weren't. So I have no problem with Le'Veon Bell sitting out as long as he wants to. He doesn't owe anything to his teammates. He doesn't owe anything to the team. He doesn't owe anything to his fans. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it will be with Le'Veon Bell, it seems. So, like I said, I have no problem with it. He's making the smart move here. If his teammates want to be mad about it, go ahead. Who cares? I mean, if this works out for Le'Veon Bell, like I say, this works out better for him considering his teammates have turned on him, trade him, and whoever team he gets traded to, I'm sure will pay him. So, we'll see what ends up happening, but either way, it seems like this situation is ongoing and he won't be playing on Sunday. And his agent went on NFL Live today and talked about the fact that, I mean, he doesn't want to be overworked. They're thinking long-term here, and that's smart. Like I said, go check out DeMarco Murray's stats his last year with Dallas and tell me that the Steelers won't do that with him. So that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we'll be talking NFC North and NFC South, making my predictions for the division standings there. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about the whole Le'Veon Bell thing. His teammates aren't too happy with him. Who cares? Honestly. I mean, yeah, they blocked for him. Great. Would be nothing if Le'Veon Bell wasn't rushing for all these yards and all that. So, I mean, it is what it is. Players are going to feel a certain way about it. Doesn't matter. Are the players paying his contract? No. So we should probably just keep quiet. Like I said, all these NFL teams talk about the whole, oh, well, we move forward with the guys on the team currently and worry about all that other stuff. Well, we don't worry about all the other stuff. Why are they worrying about Le'Veon Bell? You got James Conner, move on with him. And I'm sure the Steelers are going to end up trading Le'Veon Bell. Now, since you got Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster going up against them, but like I said, Le'Veon Bell is not doing anything wrong here. So we move on from that And now we talk NFC North Division and NFC South. Making my predictions for those. Let's start off with the NFC South here. NFC South has three Super Bowl contenders. Carolina kind of being a dark horse type team. You got Tampa Bay, but I don't think anyone's really worried about Tampa Bay up until this point, given you got Ryan Fitzpatrick starting three games there. And let's start off with Tampa Bay. They're going to be the fourth place team in that division, and I'm fairly confident about that. You look at the Bucs, drafted Jameis about, what, four seasons ago. He's coming into his fourth year right now. Hasn't necessarily worked out too well for you. You went 9-7 1 year. Other than that, I mean, haven't really been too competitive. No real playoff contention or anything like that. Like I said, you got Jameis suspended for the first three games of the season. And you're going to be going with Ryan Fitzpatrick for those three games. You're playing the Steelers, the Saints, and the Eagles, I believe. Chances are you're going to go 0-3. And I think right there off the bat makes them the fourth place team in the division. I mean, I don't see really the Falcons, Panthers, or Saints losing more than six games this season. Seven at the most, I'd say. Seven games, like I said, is their maximum for the amount of games they'll lose there. Tampa Bay's losing at least five or six. At least. And, I mean, Tampa Bay this season, their biggest thing is you got to see how Jameis does and whether or not you want to bring the guy back. I mean, there's a point where if he's not really adding wins to your team, and he hasn't necessarily looked like the number one pick that you thought he would, do you really want to pay him all the money he's going to be getting? I mean, because that's what's going to happen. If the Bucs end up do bringing back Jameis Winston and do give him a long-term contract, they're going to have to pay him, not Matt Ryan money or anything like that, I'd say, but somewhere around the, along the line where he's getting at least $60, $70 million guaranteed. I mean, how do you not? Some other team will. We all know GMs love to look at players and think, oh yeah, I can fix this player, we'll make him fit in here, and that'll work. I mean, that's basically the motto of the NFL, of NFL coaches and GMs. I don't care about your problems in the past or what you did in the past, you'll work here, and I'll look like a genius. So yeah, Tampa Bay definitely going to be the worst team in that division, and like I said, I don't think it's relatively close. I mean, you got three teams who made the playoffs last year, Tampa Bay not being one of them from that division. So then it gets a little bit tricky after that. I mean, you got the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons. Let's take a look at what the Falcons' schedule is looking like this year. You got the Eagles week one. I'm going to say they win that one. So that's 1-0. Then you got Carolina the next week. I'll say 2-0. Then the Saints the week after. I'm going to say they split, so we'll go 3-0 there. Then you got Cincinnati week four. That's 4-0. I got them going 4-0 after their first 4 weeks. And I think the Falcons are going to be a much better team compared to last year, too. So then they got the Steelers week five in Pittsburgh. I'll give them that loss right there. So that's 4-1. Tampa Bay the week after at home, 5-1. Versus New York at home, 6-1. Bye week, week eight. So after their first seven games, I got them going 6-1. Then they go back on the road to Washington. I will go 7-1. Cleveland, 8-1. Versus Dallas, I'll give them a loss there. That's 8-2. Then they got New Orleans, 8-3. Versus Baltimore, 9-3. At Green Bay, 9-4. Versus Arizona, 10-4. At Carolina, 10-5. Versus Tampa Bay, I'll go, 11-5. So I got the Falcons finishing 11-5 this season. Let's take a look at these Saints, because that's how we're going to have to decide who ends up winning this division, because all these teams are fairly even with, I mean, the talent and all that. Like I said, either of these teams can get two Super Bowls. So you got the Saints. Like I said, I got the Falcons going 11-5. Saints going 2-0 to start the season. 2-1 after going to Atlanta week three. I'll go 3-1 after beating New York in New York. 4-1 after their first five, beating Washington week five. So be a bye week, week six. Let's see. I'll go 5-1 week 7, 5-2 losing to Minnesota in Minnesota, 5-3 losing to LA, talking about the Rams, 6-3 beating the Bengals. Then I'll go, Wentz should be back, so I'll go 6-4 against Philly, 7-4 against Atlanta. I got a bit of a tough stretch, three straight road games. Let's see, I got them currently 7-4, I believe, after their first 12 games. Then they got, I'll go 7-5 against Dallas, 8-5 against Tampa, 8-6 against Carolina, 9-6 against Pittsburgh. So I got the Saints going 10-6, so a game below the Saints. Then we look at Carolina's, and Carolina's my dark horse team to make it out the NFC into the Super Bowl. So for Carolina, I'll say they beat Dallas week one since it's in Carolina. They'll lose to Atlanta week two, 1-1. Week three, they got Cincinnati, so that's 2-1. They got an early bye week, week four, so I got them going 2-1 before the bye week. Then they got the Giants. I'll go 3-1 there. 4-1 against Washington. 4-2 in Philly. 5-2 beating Baltimore. 6-2 beating Tampa. 6-3 losing to Pittsburgh. 7-3 beating Detroit. 8-3 beating Seattle. 9-3 beating Tampa. 10-3 beating Cleveland. We'll go 11-3 beating New Orleans. 12-3 beating Atlanta. 12-4. I got the Carolina Panthers going 12-4. They got a relatively easy schedule when you look at it. They can beat Seattle, Detroit. That'll be one where people will kind of look, oh, maybe you get that one to Detroit since it's at home. Detroit doesn't really play well against teams over 500. You got to play teams like Baltimore. You got to play Tampa twice. I don't think Tampa's going to win a game within their division. You play the Giants, but that's at home. You got to play the Bengals. Like, a lot of their tough games are at home, so I'm going to give them those ones. So I got them going 12-4. Atlanta going 11-5, and then New Orleans going 10-6. And again, that could change. I mean, New Orleans could be the team who goes 12-4. Atlanta could go 12-4. Again, these are just my predictions. But either way, that's how I'm going. I'm comfortable picking the Panthers to win their division, given you got DJ Moore there, and they did what they could to fix up the secondary. If the secondary is improved from last year, then they're going to be a much improved team. Cam Newton has shown that he can win the big games, and he can help, like I said, his team pretty much navigate through tough times. I mean, Cam has made the playoffs more often than not. So, yeah, I got Carolina winning the division, Atlanta finishing second, New Orleans finishing third, and Atlanta finishing fourth. And this could be another case where you got three teams from the NFC South making it into the playoffs. So there's my predictions for that division. Then you got the NFC North. I'm pretty comfortable with where I got the teams here. I'm going to go with Detroit. Like, all these teams are solid here. It's not like we're the NFC South where you got three good teams and one bad team. I'd say all these teams here are good teams. But the team I have finishing fourth is Detroit. Detroit tends to struggle against teams over 500. And I just think that the Bears at this point are a better team than them. And they're not better than Green Bay or Minnesota for that matter. So yeah, Detroit, I got being the fourth best team there. And then you got Chicago last season with John Fox. I mean, he refused to let Mitch Trubisky throw the ball. Just wanted to run it 30 times with Jordan Howard. That necessarily wasn't a big problem with me, considering I had Jordan Howard on my fantasy team. But either way, now it's a new era. You got Matt Nagy out there leading the team. Trubisky's got some weapons. He's got Taylor Gabriel, Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen. And I mean, that's a whole lot better than what he had last season. And then you look at the defense, drafted Roquan Smith, got Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, safety Amos out there, Trevathan, Hicks, Leonard Floyd, and let's not forget they just added Khalil Mack. The Bears will have a top 10 defense this year, that's no doubt. And it's going to be one where I could see them finishing above Green Bay or Minnesota, but I'm not ready to say that. I'll say the Bears finish third, but it's going to be an NFC South situation where the Bears do have a decent record and will be in playoff contention, I'd say, at least for the wild card. And then I'll go Green Bay number two. I mean, I think Green Bay is going to make the playoffs. I'm not sure actually what my playoff teams here. I mean, it's going to be tough because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams who could be 10-6, 9-7 in the NFC, and there's going to be a lot of tiebreakers to sort through in order to figure out who's making the wild card. But either way, I got Green Bay finishing second. Whenever you got Aaron Rodgers out there, you're a Super Bowl contender. And then I'll have Minnesota finishing first. I mean, you look at Minnesota. They added Kirk Cousins. Got a very good defense, a top five defense, I'd say. Receivers are great. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, one of the best receiving corps in the league, along with Kyle Rudolph out there in the tight end spot. You got Dalvin Cook, who, I mean, Minnesota's basically raving about the fact that the guy looks even better than he did before he tore his ACL. And there's something about those Minnesota doctors. They're like geniuses when it comes to torn ACLs, but he's going to be poised for a bigger role. And Kirk Cousins, I mean, he's been putting up good numbers the last few years. So hasn't had real talent around him. Now you give him some weapons to work with. I mean, you got to assume the guy's going to do really well. So, yeah, I got Minnesota finishing first. They'll be a Super Bowl contender without a doubt. And, I mean, this could be a division where you got three teams making the playoffs. In the NFC South, you got the Saints or Falcons who end up missing out since they got Carolina winning that division. So, we'll see what ends up happening there between those two divisions, like I said. I guess Chicago finishing third, Detroit finishing fourth, Green Bay second, and Minnesota first. And then the NFC South, I got Carolina winning the division with Atlanta coming in second, New Orleans in third, and then Tampa Bay in fourth. So we'll see how that all goes down. Either way, next up, we'll be talking about the NFC East. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Been quite the crazy day today with the Steelers turning on Le'Veon Bell. You'd think they'd realize it's a business and that's what comes first, but I guess that hasn't reached Pittsburgh yet, considering Pittsburgh never plays their players, so I guess they're just used to it. But either way, yeah, Le'Veon Bell's not making a mistake or anything like that. He doesn't know these teammates, doesn't owe them an explanation or anything like that. He just simply doesn't. And if they're hurt by that, then I guess their feelings could stay hurt, but either way, it seems like Le'Veon Bell either won't be reporting to the Steelers till November or probably will get traded. Who knows? Either way, I mean, it's not too smart to, I'd say, bring him back considering the offensive line doesn't really like the guy too much according to what they've said. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Second segment, we've made my predictions for the NFC South and NFC North divisional standings. I got Carolina winning the NFC South, then Atlanta finishing second, New Orleans in third, and Tampa Bay in fourth. And me putting New Orleans in third isn't necessarily the thing. I don't think they'll be a Super Bowl contending team or anything like that. It's just the way the schedule goes. You put New Orleans in the playoffs, yeah, they can go as far as they want. And as far as the NFC North, I got Minnesota finishing first, Green Bay second, Chicago third, Detroit in fourth. So now we move on to the good old NFC East. Cowboys fans aren't going to be necessarily happy with what I got to say about their team. I'll tell you that much. The Cowboys have a top three running back in the league without a doubt. That's not up for debate. I mean, it's simply not. Ezekiel Elliott is the third best running back in the league. I will take Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson over him. But after that, I would go Ezekiel Elliott. And, I mean, he's a guy who, not many running backs do at this point, but he's a guy who adds wins to the Cowboys schedule. We saw them last year go 9-7 with him missing 6 games. Dak Prescott didn't really look good in those games that he missed, but either way, they navigated and nearly made the playoffs. But as far as this season, you look at them. The secondary is very young, which means they still got to develop, and I don't necessarily trust them to do that well this season. So the secondary is a problem for me. Linebackers, if Sean Lee stays healthy and those other guys stay healthy, linebackers will be solid. Defensive line, you got Randy Gregory on one side, DeMarcus Lawrence on the other. I mean, that's the best of both worlds there. Assuming Randy Gregory is the player that we all expect him to be, because, I mean, the guy really hasn't spent too much time on the field, and we all know why. Then you look to the offense. The receivers scare me. I keep calling Dak Prescott Alex Smith 2.0, and that's not necessarily a knock on Dak Prescott. It isn't a knock on Dak Prescott, actually. I think Alex Smith is the 10th, 11th, 12th best quarterback in the league, somewhere right there. Dak Prescott eventually could go up there, but either way, looking at it, Dak Prescott is like the early stages of Alex Smith's career, meaning he doesn't throw down the field. He is a safe quarterback. He is Tyrod Taylor, and I like Tyrod Taylor too. But you look at it, I don't like the receivers. I don't like Hurns. Cole Beasley's a good slot receiver. He's probably a top five slot receiver in the league. I'm not even sure if I can name 10 slot receivers in the league, but either way, I know for a fact Cole Beasley's a top five slot receiver. And then you got Michael Gallup, who actually has some upside, but we've seen over the years that these receivers coming into league really aren't what you expect them to be in their first season. We've seen now over the last few years that receivers, they got to develop in the first couple of seasons before they actually break out. So as much as I like Michael Gallup, I'm not really expecting him to do much. And then you get Terrence Williams. Not sure what he's going to do. His job the last few years has been stand on the other side of Dez Bryant and don't ask for the ball. He'll get the ball when you get it. But either way, yeah, Allen Hurns is either Allen Hurns or Michael Gallup are going to be the number one receivers. It'd be smart to, well, I mean, they're both going to be playing either way. I'd make Michael Gallup the number one. But like looking at Hurns, that guy's been a number two his entire career and really hasn't put up any numbers except for that one season. And I feel like people have just been waiting for him to do something after that. But looking at the Cowboys, I mean, you know what, let's take a look at the Cowboys schedule and see what I got them going this season. Because, I mean, when you look at it, it's just, I think they got holes in the spots where you don't need holes, like where you don't want holes, meaning you usually want your secondary to be good. You want at least some big playmaking receiver. So you got in Carolina week one, that's a loss. They're going to lose week two to New York, just given it's Sunday night at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And New York just, I mean, that's basically New York's home stadium on Sunday night. So it's 0-2. I'll go 1-2 against Seattle. They always play Seattle well. 2-2 against Detroit. 2-3 against Houston since it's in Houston. 2-4 against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just a better team at that point. And I'll go 2-5 in Washington. These NFC East teams tend to split. So 2-5 after their first 7 games. And you got week 8. I'll go 3-5 beating Tennessee. 3-6 losing to Philly. 3-7 losing to Atlanta. 4-7 beating Washington. 4-8 losing to New Orleans. 5-8 beating Philly. 6-8 beating Indianapolis. 7-8 beating Tampa. I got them going 8-8 beating New York in New York week 17. So one game worse than they were last season. I think that's relatively fair. And again, me having them go 8-8 doesn't mean they'll go 8-8. I think that's the range they'll be in. A game goes their way here, a game goes their way there. That's 2 wins, 1 win, 9-7. I mean, they'll be in that little area. So I got them going 8-8. I think that's pretty fair given the team they got currently. I mean, we did see them go 13-3 2 years ago, but the NFC is much better than what it was 2 years ago, I'll tell you that much. So then we got Washington, and Washington is a team I'm trying to think will be very good this season. I like Alex Smith. I think those receivers on the offense fit his ability. I like Adrian Peterson being there. Defense is solid, and the offensive line is top 10. So let's see what I got Washington doing this season. They got Arizona week one. I'm going to go Arizona in that game. So that's 0-1. I'll got them going 1-1 against Indy. 1-2 against Green Bay. Then they got a bye week four. So 1-2 after their first three. 1-3 against New Orleans. I believe I had Carolina beating them week 6, so 1-4 after losing to Carolina. 2-4 beating Dallas. 2-5 losing to New York. 2-6 losing to Atlanta. 3-6 beating Tampa. 3-7 losing to Houston. That's a home game. I'll go 4-6 beating Houston. Let's see. 4-7 losing to Dallas. 4-8 losing to Philly. 5-8 beating New York. 5-9 losing to Jacksonville. 6-9 beating Tennessee. And then, do I get them going 6-10 or 7-9? I'll give them benefit of the doubt. I'm expecting them to be a decent this season. So I got them going 7-9. That's basically the Kirk Cousins MO the last few years. But now you got Alex Smith doing it. So I got them going 7-9, 6-10. Depends on that last game against Philly. It's a home game, so I'll give them the game, like I said, 7-9. So I got them going 7-9, finishing right behind Dallas. I think that's fair. Again, I mean, a game goes their way here, a game goes their way there. They're 8-8, 9-7. They lose a game here, lose a game there. They're 5-11. So, yeah, 7-9, I think, is fair. Then you look at the Giants, looking at their schedule. They got Jacksonville week one. I'm giving that one to Jacksonville. So that's 0-1. 1-1 against Dallas. 1-2 against Houston, 1-3 against New Orleans, 1-4 against Carolina. I'll go 2-4 versus Philly, 2-5 at Atlanta, 3-5 after 8 weeks. Then they got the bye week, week 9. I'll go 4-5 with them beating San Francisco and Santa Clara, 5-5 beating Tampa. Let's go 5-6 losing to Philly, 6-6 beating Chicago, 6-7 losing to Washington, 7-7 beating Tennessee, 8-7 beating Indy. I got them going 8-8 as well, I guess. So yeah, we got Dallas going 8-8, the Giants going 8-8, the Redskins going 7-9. So I'm assuming that means I got Philly winning the division, which means we don't got to go through their schedule. But either way, I mean, yeah, Philly's going to be without Wentz for probably the first three games at least, maybe the first four games of the season. I think if Wentz misses the first four, I think the Eagles can go 2-2 and be relatively happy. And once Wentz comes back, I mean, people will say maybe the ACL injury will affect him. Yeah, he can't take off of the ball as much, but he's still a very good pocket passer. And that's one thing we tend to miss. I think he'll be fine throwing the ball, and he won't really miss a beat. The Eagles team will be back to par, and yes, they'll be winning the division. So, yeah, I think that's relatively fair, having the Eagles win the division, the Giants and Cowboys finishing second or third, depends. I mean, since I got them both going 8-8, and then Washington going 7-9. So, those are my predictions for the NFC East. We'll go NFC West next, talk about Earl Thomas returning back to practice with the Seahawks also. So, stay tuned for that, and I'll be right back.
The average SUV has two blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked Le'Veon Bell, made my predictions for the NFC South, North, and East. Now, I move on to the NFC West. In the NFC West, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward for the team who you expect to win it, being the Rams. No one in that division can currently challenge LA. I mean, that's just pure facts there. There is not one team who, unit for unit, can match up with the Rams. I mean, Seattle comes close as far as, like, Seattle got the better quarterback out of the two, but other than that, I mean, Rams got the better running back, receivers, and defense. Also offensive line. You got San Francisco, the Rams are better all across the board. Same with Arizona, except for running back position is arguable depending on if you prefer Todd Gurley or David Johnson. But either way, I mean, yeah, Rams without a doubt. I don't need to look at the schedule. They're going to win that division, and there's no need to argue it either. Obviously, right now, they're in Super Bowl win now mode. I mean, this isn't like a season this year where they make the playoffs, win a wild card game, play in the divisional round, lose that. Like, that'd be a failure of a season. I'd say at the very minimum, in order to make an argument that this was a successful season, they got to get to this NFC Championship game. If they don't get to that game, then yeah, season without a doubt is a failure. Why? Because you brought in guys like Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and Dominican Sue, and Brandon Cooks to win a Super Bowl. You don't bring in players of that quality all in the same offseason to just make the playoffs. Obviously, you have Super Bowl aspirations, so if they're going to hold themselves to that standard, then so should we. You get Jared Goff, who's coming into his third year. First year was terrible, but that's because of Jeff Fisher, and I firmly believe that, and I will always believe that. I will always believe also that Jeff Fisher ruined Vince Young, which I'm still not over. And Jeff Fisher, I will say this. Yes, he was an awful head coach, one of the worst I've ever seen in my life. I could care less what he did back in 2000. All right, all he did was come up short at the one, if we're being real here. But either way, Jeff Fisher does know how to bring in solid talent. I will give him that. Jeff Fisher as a GM, I'm sure, would be one of the best in the league, and I'd maybe like Jeff Fisher, the GM. But Jeff Fisher, the head coach who fell short at the Super Bowl 1 yard with his team, not a big fan. Sorry. But either way, yeah, you get Tlaib, Peters, I mean, just gave Aaron Donald all the money you possibly could. Sue there. You got Michael Brockers. This team needs to go to the NFC Championship at the very least. People, I think, are kind of shying away from him because they won the offseason. But I think this is a bit different. Like, this isn't where they're just signing players and just bringing them in. Like, no, they're filling needs. Like, they needed a number one receiver. Got that in Cooks. Secondary, the cornerback specifically, were looking weak. They got Tlaib and Peters. The only luxury pickup was Ndamukong Suh, I'd say. Well, I mean, you can't ever go wrong with too many defensive linemen there. So I think, yeah, they won the offseason, but they did it the right way. And like I said, just filled in needs here. So I got him finishing first. Then that leaves spots 2, 3, and 4 open. And this is where I got to look at the schedules here because, I mean, I spent a lot of the offseason thinking the Seahawks would be the worst team in the NFC West. But when you look at it, you'll remain competitive and win ball games. Not obviously a lot. Like, not to the point where you'll be winning the division or anything like that. But you'll be winning, like, a good amount of games if you have a top 5 quarterback and a top 5 head coach. And I think you can make the argument that the Seahawks do in Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Plus, one thing that's kind of brought me back to Seattle is the fact that Pete Carroll is very good when it comes to developing draft talent and all that. He has an eye for talent, knows how to develop it. So let's see how I expect Seattle to do this season. Let's look at their schedule, and it's pretty tough. They got Denver week 1. I'm going to give that to Seattle, so that's 1-0. I'll say they lose in Chicago on Monday night week 2, so that's 1-1. I got them losing to Dallas, so that's 1-2. I'll say they split with Arizona, so that's 1-3. You got the Rams week 5. I'll say 1-4. 2-4 versus Oakland bye week comes week 7. Then they got in Detroit. This is a tough one. I'll give it to Seattle. I'll go 3-4. Against LA in Seattle, I'll go 4-4. Talking about the Chargers. Losing to the Rams in LA, 4-5. I'll say they lose to Green Bay, 4-6. 4-7 against Carolina. 5-7 against San Francisco. 5-8 against Minnesota. 5-9 against San Francisco. And then I got them beating Kansas City and actually, they'll say they lose. What I got them going? 5-9 right now after week 15. I got them going. I'll give them 7-9, 6-10, somewhere around there. I'm not sure about that. I'll go. You know what? I'm assuming I'll go 6-10 for Seattle this season. I'm going to say, yeah, they go 6-10. A little bit tough, but I mean, they're in a bit of a rebuild mode here. So I got them going 6-10. Let's take a look at Arizona's schedule. So Arizona, they start off with Washington. I believe we just went over Washington's schedule. I think I gave Arizona the win there. So we'll go 1-0 for Arizona there. 1-1 against LA, the Rams. 1-2 against Chicago. 2-2 versus Seattle. 2-3 against San Francisco in San Francisco. 2-4 against Minnesota. 3-4 versus Denver. It's a Thursday night game at home for Arizona, so I'll give that to them. 4-4 against San Francisco, and they split with San Francisco. I got them going 4-4 after the first 8 weeks. Bye week, week 9. 4-5 at Kansas City. 5-5 against Oakland. 5-6 against the Chargers. 5-7 against Green Bay. 5-8 against Detroit. 5-9 against Atlanta. 5-10 against LA. I got them going about 5-11. Starting off the season, they'll be decent. Like I said, 4-4 after the first 8 games, but then they got a few tough road games in against the Chargers, against the Chiefs, against the Packers, against the Falcons, and against Seattle week 17. So yeah, I got them going 5-11, one game under how do you say, Seattle. So let me look at San Francisco, and I'm assuming if I got Seattle going 6-10 and the Cardinals going 5-11, that means San Francisco, I got them finishing second. Let's take a look. 0-1 against Minnesota. 1-1 against Detroit. 1-2 against Kansas City. 1-3 against the Chargers. 2-3 against Arizona. 2-4 against Green Bay. I've got them going 2-5 against the Rams, 2-6 at Arizona, 3-6 versus Oakland, 4-6 versus the Giants. See, I had the Giants winning that one, so I'll go 3-7. So 3-7 after the first 10, 4-7 at Tampa Bay, 4-8 against Seattle, 5-8 against Denver, 6-8 against Seattle. I think I had Chicago beat them, so I got 6-9. So I got them going 6-10. And again, these predictions aren't set or anything like that. I'm going to be wrong about a lot of them. I don't think that San Francisco will go 6-10 along with Seattle and then 5-11 Arizona. Unless, I mean, that's a possibility because these teams do have tough schedules. Like I said, Arizona, I mean, their schedule gets tough in the second half just given they got a lot of road games against top teams. So, yeah, I'd say San Francisco will, in reality, will probably finish 8-8, 7-9. I'd say 8-8 at the most. 9-7 if they're really good. But, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with the ranges I got these teams in right here. So, I got LA winning the division. I don't expect any of these teams in this division to make the playoffs. So, I mean, I guess that's relatively fine there. So, I mean, looking at it, yesterday at the end of the show, we talked about the wild card teams. I think we're going to get three playoff teams from the NFC South again. Maybe two, maybe New Orleans misses out. But like I said, I got New Orleans going 10-6. It's going to be, I'm going to go Atlanta and Carolina making the playoffs for sure out of the NFC South with Carolina winning the division. So, at least one wild card spot left between Green Bay and New Orleans, so I'm going to have to look at Green Bay's schedule and see if I got them going at least 10-6 or better. So they got Chicago week 1, that's 1-0. Minnesota week 2, 2-0. 3-0 against Washington. 4-0 against Buffalo. 5-0 against Detroit. 6-0 against San Francisco. I might just have Green Bay winning their division. 6-0 after their first 6 games. 6-1 against LA. 6-2 against New England. 7-2 against Miami. 7-2 against Miami, 8-2 against Seattle, 8-3 against Minnesota, 9-3 against Arizona, 10-3 against Atlanta, 10-4 against Chicago, 11-4 against New York, 11-5. So I'd say Minnesota's going to make the playoffs. I got Green Bay getting in over New Orleans, given I got New Orleans going 10-6, Green Bay going 11-5. So there. Philly winning the division, Minnesota winning their division, Carolina winning theirs, LA winning theirs, Packers and Falcons as my wild card teams. And I mean, Saints fans might be mad at me, but any of these top teams in the NFC could miss out. The NFC is going to be very competitive this season. So that's all I got to say about that. Tomorrow we will be top previewing the Eagles and Falcons game. First regular season football game of the year. Can't wait. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Like I said, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. So stay tuned and enjoy the rest of your day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.